All right, let's go. All right. Cindy's taking the day off, by the way. She's not feeling too good, so.
But she doesn't have COVID.
So. No, she doesn't have COVID. She's all right. You know, I think we should talk about the truckers, my favorite guys. Here's my feeling, okay? Could be wrong. Never been wrong, but I could be wrong. I would make a point. A week is a week. I think after a week, you start to get on people's nerves.
Right. Now, after a week, you'll turn into the bad guys.
Yeah, well, you're already the bad guys by the...
Well, the media's made the bad guys.
Yeah, you see, if there's 800 lawyers, you're going to have at least 10 are going to be jerks. And that's what happened. That is what happened. And the media picks up on it, and you cannot stop the media. That's their job. Anything that looks bad to the truckers... And it goes back to the truckers, that they get the blame. I would take it 1 week, but they want Trudeau to talk.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He won't. He won't come out. Like you were talking. You were right. You said that the lady that's kind of running it should just come out and say, you know, he won't come out and talk to us. That's fine. But we're going to make a point of it and then leave. But we'll be back.
Yeah, we'll be back. But if you're going. You know the thing that really bugs the people the most when they beep their horns at 4 o'clock in the morning when they're trying to sleep? I would make a point of it and get out. And by the way, I really have to admire those tractors that showed up. And they talked to the tractors. The guy says, no, I'm only staying for tonight. I have to milk cows in the morning.
They got to go back, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know. And I think a lot of time what happened was that, you know, for me, I could see why they got mad. The truckers, because we're 3 years into the pandemic, and then they go all of a sudden now.
Well, tell a story that you did when you crossed the border.
So I was over in Ogdensburg, New York, and it was mid December, and I checked on the Sunday. I was going Monday. I checked the Sunday, and the Sunday it said all you needed was a proof of double vaccination to come back. And if you were over less than 72 hours, and I was going to be there like 24 hours. So I go over on the Monday, the United States border guy just waved me through and didn't ask me any questions, didn't ask me if I was vaccinated or anything, just waved me through. And I was there at the Fredericton Remington Museum, and I should talk about that sometimes, pretty cool. And then I came back. And so I came back Tuesday morning, and so I was less than, I don't even think I was 24 hours, and it had changed that I needed to download the CAN app arrival thing, and I was in the middle of nowhere because you're east of Cornwall, didn't have any Wi-Fi, my phone wasn't working properly, I couldn't download it, so the border guy was kind of mean, saying you have to do this or it's a $6,000 fine and you have to quarantine for 14 days, and then... So then I went to him and I said, look, I said, this isn't downloading properly and it's not working. So he did it for you. He was a nice guy. He did it for me. And then we moved on. But I was there for 45 minutes. But it changed it from Sunday night till Monday afternoon. It had changed. It basically had changed.
I know. And it's tough. And anyhow, I would say that if I was the truckers and... And truckers are great guys, and anybody else, I would deal with 1 week, and then I'd say, I'll be back. Well, Tim, I'd like to talk about the All-Star game.
Yeah, this is Sunday morning.
It was on. I watched the whole thing. You cannot have a physical game like the football, and you cannot have, and hockey. Even if you, even when I thought, well, 3-on-3, they're going to try for $1 million. I mean, $1 million. I guess $1 million is not as much to them as they are to me. But anyhow, and if you try, then you look down upon.
Right, you kind of look like a jerk if you're trying.
Because nobody else tries. And you could see the catch, they could catch guys, and they let on, they're trying to catch guys. And the goaltenders try, though.
Right, the goalie's got to put on a
bit. Yeah, they don't want to look bad.
Because they don't want to be embarrassed, right?
Yeah, they try. but the rest of the guys go through the motion. But they do put on a pretty good show. I watched the night before when they had, you know, shooting out on the ice and the, amongst the fountains and all that. They do a pretty good job. They do the best they can with what they got.
Yeah. I remember the time, I forget what year it was that we were, you were mad because we were in first place and none of the Bruins went to the All-Star game.
Yeah, we were in first place. We were second overall with not one guy. And then next year they sent Terry O'Reilly because he was leading the team.
And you knew Terry wasn't going to take it easy.
Oh, boy. And, you know, when Terry went to O'Reilly, and all of a sudden he's hitting. He knew no other way how to play the game. That was a pretty good All-Star, that game.
Yeah, and I think Bobby Schmotz went one time, too. He represented the Bruins one year. But you know the thing I can't get over, too, Dad, was we were talking that they have the odds of who's going to be, you know, going to win the Vezina Trophy and the Rookie of the Year and Coach's Corner or the coach and all that. But they don't even mention Freddie Anderson. He's second.
Last year, too, he was had great year.
And, you know, I think, you know, if he has a bit of a chip on his shoulder that, you know, I got to prove myself.
He's sort of a quiet guy. He never says a word.
He played well. I mean, him and the other guy on that division, the Metropolitan Division, played well.
He played well all the time, Tim.
Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. They're a Canadian-owned online casino and sports book. And if you sign up now and use the promo Grapes, they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 10 spins on the big wheel. If you get 3 of your jackets, you get big dough. And your first sports bet, they spot you $25. And I like betting, putting some money on games and all that. And I usually bet single games. But on February 1st, I thought, I'm going to do a parlay. And what a parlay is, you can bet 3 or 4 games, and if you have to win them all, though, to win, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I bet the Leafs over the Devils, and the Leafs hammered the Devils, I think, 7-1, right? So that's no problem.
That's a sad team, that Devils. A sad, sad team.
I know. Talk about stealing your money.
Oh, boy.
And then I took the Bruins over Seattle, so I was a little nervous. Bruins won by a goal, 3-2, but Bruins win. And then I had a feeling that the Islanders were going to, like, they had been playing tough at home. So I took the Islanders over the Senators, and they won. So I only had to have one game to win, and it was Colorado over Phoenix.
Automatic.
Best team in the league versus the worst team. Best team at home. Hasn't lost, in 18 games? And the Coyotes beat them in a shootout.
That's the name of the game, Tim.
Yeah, that's true. But it's a lot of fun, so go to spreads.ca, and Super Bowl is coming up, and they've been very good to us, so we'd like to thank them very much.
Yeah, they're good company. Well, I think we should talk about the Canadian hockey team coming up.
The Olympics,
already playing now that we're due it Sunday morning. Well, let's talk about the goaltenders first. We have Devin Levi, and he's just a kid. But he's a good kid playing down in the States. I think he's playing college somewhere.
Yeah, he's Northeastern, so yeah. He's got a good record.
Yeah, so no, Eddie Pasquale, he's got a 1.91 and a 916 average, which is pretty good.
Yeah, he played in the KHL, the Russian league, whatever it is, KHL, and he won the Vezina Trophy. He was the best goalie last year.
So if you got a good goalie, you can go. You never know.
Well, that's it. That's what the Olympics, right? It is a contest. It's a contest who has the best goalie, right?
Yeah. Matt Kopkins played in Sweden, and his record is 14-8, 2.3 average. And I'm reading this, by the way. Yeah. And now I'd like to talk right off the bat. I'd like to talk about Eric Staal. Remember, Eric Staal was over and he hurt his knee. I never forgot this. He was flying high.
Yeah, the guy stuck his knee out, and that was in the World Tournament.
Yeah, I remember that. He never really recovered. He never recovered from that. I never forgot that. He's our captain. And if anybody should show a leadership, it should be him. The coach is Jeremy Colleton. He's a good coach.
Chicago. Julian. He was the coach, and he fell.
Julian hurt his ribs. How the hell do you hurt your ribs playing hockey being a coach?
Falling on the ice. Like, you think you hit your head or you break your wrist, but.
Oh, well. Jack McBain. I like to name all the guys some of the guys I saw.
Man.
Don Mills Flyers. I saw him.
Yeah.
I know, you know, another guy that I know his father, Adam Stambellini.
Yeah, his dad played
Steve,
for you.
Yeah.
Did he play for you in Colorado?
Yeah, I think he did. I think I forget now. Yeah. I don't know. Dan, Colorado. Daniel Winnick played for the Marlies, and I watched him play. Mason McTavish, he played World Tournament.
Yeah, he played. He was dominant in the World
Juniors.
He
was good too, boy. Yeah. He was dynamite.
Yeah, you see, the World Juniors is going to be back in August.
Oh yeah, they'll be back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think
it was more about money than anything. So, but yeah, they're all looks like that. So,
Lennon Ferrero is the son of Ray, who's on TV all the time. Josh Hosong. Now, listen, this is it. This is, if he can't go on this big ice surface, this, and he can skate, he's the best, one of the best skaters I ever saw. This should be his tournament.
Right. And you figure if he does well, you know, he might get a contract somewhere, right?
I mean, you know that he's really good. The other guys, I'd like to read all the rest of the guys, you know, because these guys can get hurt as well as anybody. And I'm just going to name them. Daniel Carr, Adam Cracknell, London Ferrero, Josh Hosang, Corbin. These are forwards, by the way. Mm-hmm. Corbin Knights, Jack McBain, Mason McTavish, Eric O'Dell, Eric Stahl, as we talked about him, Ben Street, Adam Tambellini, Daniel Winnick, and Jordan Wheel. Now, all these guys are over there, they're doing it because they love the game.
And we can't forget the women, Dad. They're playing. You know, but you and I talked about this. I mean, and I know you got a lot of criticism sometimes just saying this. But the Americans and Canadians, they got to stop running up the score.
You cannot run up scores. I remember the last time I didn't go over. I was with Brian Williams. We stayed here. And I said, you cannot run up a score, because if you keep running up scores, oh, like 11-0, 15-0, you know, they'll pull it.
Yeah, the Olympic Committee will say, why are we doing this? Why are we embarrassing other countries?
Yeah, why? And I think the Canadian team really hammered the host, Italy, 13-0 or something like that. It wasn't even close. And remember the girl that was doing the color for CBC just lambasted me. You couldn't believe. And all I was trying to do was help them, because I've been in women's hockey before it was, you know, in style to be in women's hockey.
Yeah.
Well, we want to wish them the best of luck.
Yeah.
They got a pretty good team this year.
Yeah, and then you and I talked about, you know, I'm, you know, not knocking the coach for them, but I still don't understand why they don't have a woman coach.
I don't either. I think I remember one year they had, it was a French woman's coach, and no way they should have men's. If you're going to go women all the way.
Yeah. And then, like we were talking when we were seeing them, they seem a lot better than they were in Sochi, in Korea. They weren't. They seemed a little bit slower to me. But they have 10 new people on, and that new girl, that Sarah Fillier. I mean, she's got nice hands.
Well, we'll see. Like, she's like Matthews. I never can figure out. And I'll say it again, and I've said it 100 times. How a guy from Arizona would have hands like him.
So, Dad, you know, one of our friends, we want to wish him good luck, Pat Verbeek, got hired.
The ball of hate.
The little ball of hate.
And has not made the Hall of Fame, which
he didn't make the Hall of Fame.
No, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Like, how many goals does he have? He's got over 500 goals. He's got over 500 goals, and he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Not in the Hall of Fame. I could be wrong. And I'm sure it'll be
Well, we'll double check that. But
no, I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame. Now, let's face it, Bob Murray did a pretty good job out there. That's why their team's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
And Bob Murray was only reason he's not the GM is that he was kind of mean to the people. Ridiculous. And anyhow, he's won one Stanley Cup at Pat Verbeek, and he was a good friend of ours, and he came on the Grapevine Show.
But he has a pretty interesting story, so I'll tell you.
You tell a story.
Pick it up. So Pat Verbeek's from Ontario, and I think he's around Petrolia, so around Sarnia, yeah. And
Dale Hunter
territory. I think they're soybean farmers, and they were had like a manure spreader, like an auger. And I remember him saying that a bag got stuck, and he went to clear the bag. And I think this was like in 1985.
Which is a lesson to everybody. Right?
So he went to clear the bag, and something happened, and the auger literally cut his thumb off. And his brother grabbed him and raced him to the hospital. His father sifted through the manure and found his thumb, put it in a cooler full of ice, and drove it to the hospital. And I remember Pat on the grapevine saying that the doctors kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, well, there's nothing we could do. And I think his father and his brother...
he's like Pat.
Let's just say put a little bit of pressure on the doctors to sew his thumb back. And he sewed his thumb back. So he told that story on the grapevine, and you made a joke, and wasn't too happy with the joke.
No, I thought he'd go along with it. I said that... That year he had 20 goals, and the next year he had quite a few goals.
Yeah.
I says, you know, the reason, Pat, that you had so many goals scored the next year, and he was, you know, we were still serious. And I says, well, when you cut your thumb off, all the cement drained out. Holy smokes, I thought he was going to be happy. He wasn't happy at all.
No, he gave you a dirty look. I think all the people started to laugh.
Yeah, everybody was laughing. Anyhow, Pat Verbeek is going to be the GM, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, and he should be in the Hall of Fame. I hope he's won a Stanley Cup, and I just want to put one last word from a Kingston boy. Bob Murray did a good job, and he didn't do anything wrong.
So, David, you know, just with Pat Verbeek, you know, I'm not knocking guys that are in the Hall of Fame, but some of the guys you kind of raise an eyebrow on, but he has over 500 goals.
You know, Tim, I asked Dale Hunter that once. I said, why isn't he in the Hall of Fame? He says, I'm not the type of people. And if you think of the way he played, and I think the little ball of hate
sort
of sums it up. You have to be a certain type to be in there. You have to be I don't know what you'd call it, but you have to be, you don't have to be a saint, but next to a saint. But yeah, over 500 goals, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. Maybe you'll get in now that he's general manager.
Yeah, but it's funny, like, you go Dale Hunter, not their type of people, because he played with an edge.
He said that.
It says that. And then, you know, Pat Verbeek plays with the edge. And then Dino Cicerelli played with an edge, right?
Yeah. But Dino Cicerelli is in.
Is he?
And he did play...
It took him a while for him to get in, though, I think.
He just got in, I think.
But the one guy I can't wrap my head around is Ricky Middleton.
Yeah, he get 40 goals every year. And, he get lost in Boston, I guess. I guess you get lost in Boston. But Ricky Middleton not in, too, and Pat Verbeek, it's absolute jokes, the guys that have got in. That's my feeling, anyhow. Pat Verbeek, Ricky Middleton should be in. It should be automatic.
So, Dad, we were talking the other day, and when you played, the nets were in the ice with steel rods, right, or steel pegs, right?
Yeah, they were steel pegs.
And then you said nobody used, like, you see how McDavid cuts into the net and those guys? Back in your day, they never did.
Never.
Because you'd steer them into the net, right?
And the big thing is the nets would stay on the ice and freeze right on, right down. And you know how nets are.
Yeah. And they wouldn't move.
No, you kidding? And nobody, never be cut in. I saw a lot of, this year, I saw a lot of guys going to the net, and I heard them down in the States, the new guys, well, I shouldn't say the new guys, but anyhow, they go to the nets and they call them marsh pegs, and they never, ever give the guy credit. I would like to give the guy credit. His name was Frank Marsh. Tim, let me tell you a story about him. I know him pretty good, and the reason I know him was that we were sitting in Edmonton. Ron and I used to sit up above, way up above, and by ourselves. You know, I'll tell you the reason why we used to do that, guys, is that if you hung around, if you're not playing, there's nothing like playing. When you're not playing, you're not playing. You're a floater, and you hang around the benches and do interviews and stuff like that, you turn into a floater. And I said, well, you do what you like. But I said, I'm staying up here. And Ron stayed up with me after a while.
Because you never talked to the players or anything.
Never. I never talked to the players. because if I talk to the players, I become friends with them, and I couldn't knock them. But anyhow, we're sitting up there, and I see this guy come up. He's a middle-aged guy, dressed, yeah. you know, and he introduced himself was Frank Marsh, and you know, Frank Marsh meant nothing to me, and he found out he was Zamboni driver, and he knew all about everything, and he said, I have a new thing that would really help. And you know, and you know, you're sitting there, and you have people come up all the time, and he brought out this red thing. It was about 10 inches long, and I said, what in the world is that? And he said, this is going to be cause us some marsh pegs, and we're going to put it in instead of those posts that are in there, the guy's being hurt. I'll be a son of a gun. And he showed it to me, and I kind of, I was from the old school, and I didn't quite, and I said, well, first of all, you've got it painted red. Why would you have it painted red? Painted yellow, because then you can see the difference. And so he went on, he explained, and he took about an hour to explain. We were sitting there watching the game, and he was telling us all about it. Tim, this is about around 1980, and you know, I was really interested, and the rest of the people kind of fluffed it off. As I hurt my knee, I remember we were doing line rushes, and I remember the goaltender. Usually the goaltender tried to save you if you were a pretty good guy. If you were sliding into it, they'd try to save you. The goaltenders would. Al Miller was the goaltender. And I hurt my knee, and I was...
You slid into the post?
Yeah, I slid into the post like a dumbhead.
Boy, you must have seen some bad injuries.
Oh, I saw the worst injury I ever saw was Dave Richardson. I can't remember his name. And he was playing, so Willie O'Ree was playing for that team too. Mm. Salt Lake Gulls, and he slid in, and boy, his leg was, it was the other way. Oh. And they were calling him off. You could hear him screaming all over the ice. And I remember how cruel hockey players were back in those days. Mark Reum was sitting beside me. You could hear him screaming all the way off, all the way. And he says, I think he's hurt. And, you know, not funny at all. Anyhow, he was a Zamboni driver, so he knew what was going on. It was around 1980. About 1980. In 1991, the Olympics got the hold of it. Yep. By the way, I got to tell one story about the Olympics. In that, I remember before the game, I said.
So this was in Sochi or was in.
I don't know where it was.
I think it was in, yeah.
One of those places.
So it was.
I tried not to think of them. Yeah. Russians had a pretty good team. So it must have worked.
They always have a good team, but they never win.
Yeah, but they had a pretty good team this year. So I said before the game, I don't think those marsh pegs are NHL. NHL, they're a little thicker, and college, they're a little thinner, and really thin for kids, you know, like that. So he had it down perfect. Frank had it down perfect. And I said, that could cost them a championship. And I'll be a son of a gun. That's what happened. They weren't strong enough. And you people, you guys, well, you people. Oh, I better be careful, you people. How would you say?
I think the net lifted up.
The net lifted up, and the puck didn't go, and they didn't count the goal, and they lost in overtime. And Putin was there. It was the only thing he was there for, to see the hockey win. Because he thinks he's a hockey player. And I never forgot that. You've got to have the right size Frank Marsh. His pegs in there. You know, he never forgot where he came from. And he was a Zamboni driver. And he just couldn't believe that he was getting all this publicity. Well, he got it back in 1980. He got it. His son's taken over. Sheila. I think his son's name is Dallas. I'm not sure. And Sheila, his wife, kept encouraging him, kept going on, and he changed the National Hockey League. And right now, you can't believe all the injuries that he has stopped in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, Frank Marsh, that's right. And many times we used to go out and watch minor hockey. You see this, like sometimes they don't have those pegs in, the goalies would knock them off and stuff like that. But
yeah, some, yeah.
But no, I mean, as you're right, as you say, he saved so many guys. So, well, I just want to wrap up, Dad. I just want to wish you happy birthday. That your birthday was yesterday.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I know
still plugging along.
What's that?
I'm still plugging along. By the way, in the paper, I didn't think they'd even have my name in it. They had a picture of me, and Steve Simmons in the thing. I was the first guy he mentioned. Well, yep. You know, I'm sort of like on the outs right now.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so happy birthday.
Thanks very much.